Jones.
And Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say.
About family,
women,
philosophy,
politics,
history,
people,
money,
pop culture,
kids,
fighting,
business,
life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, Jones dreams of tapping into his dream, while Mike considers arming himself as another violent summer in Chicago heats
this
us.
This is Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike. I woke up the other day, Jones, and I was fairly sure that you were better than me.
Why was that only one time?
I know. You should be with the regularity, shouldn't it?
Well, maybe not regularity, but I mean, I think it should be a fairly 50-50. It should be a competitive match as to who's better than the other between you and me.
Like, I woke up and I was like, oh my God, my life is a failure. Jones wins. I don't even think I said again. He just, Jones wins. Because I had a dream that you owned a Portillo's.
I didn't
know that you owned a Portillo's. So me and you, like, you invited me out to lunch. And that was, like, your way of, like, revealing it, I guess.
And you were upset about that?
Well,
that I was a restaurateur?
I know, it's weird, dude. But, like, I dreamed that I, like, halfway through the lunch or whatever, somebody came over and, like, asked you for, like, an executive decision. And I was like, what the hell was that? And you were like, oh, I didn't mention that I own this place. And I was like, what?
And so
as I woke up, I was just like, oh my God, dude, like that was a real thing. Jones really owns a Portillo's and my life sucks.
So did you feel better than when you kind of came to and realized, oh, wait a minute, he doesn't own a Portillo's?
No. So I think it's more about me feeling about me than about you.
So, but if I have something or if I'm succeeding, you feel less than.
No, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't think it was like, well, I don't know. Maybe there was some subconscious thing where I was like, geez, if Jones is passing
yes,
me up.
I believe you do feel that way. You do feel that way. Yeah, I think you feel that people have passed you by. You're not happy about it, but
no.
you're at least ahead of me.
Yeah, there's this one guy who I'm still limping ahead of, and if he passes me on the course of life, forget it.
Yes.
I don't believe that's the case.
That way.
I think this was more about me than it was about me and you or about you.
Okay.
And I think, and that's the God honest truth. And I don't feel, and it wasn't like, oh, relief, sweet relief. It was just one of those dreams, and you just happened to be playing the role of better guy.
Fair enough. Now, you always, that's the thing about your dreaming. You've always had these very vivid dreams where, and not even vivid, but you remember all the details of your dreams. So, I mean, I guess in that sense, yes, they're vivid, but more than you describing all of the detail or the precise detail, mm-hmm. I'm always amazed at the amount of detail.
Because I can remember, like, even emotional states. And I don't know, maybe that's everyone. But I think some people are like, no, I was climbing a mountain, then I fell off the mountain, and then I got into an airplane, and then they remember, like, actions. But I, like, remember, like, what I was feeling. Like, oh, my God, I was feeling so crappy at that Portillo's table when I found out that you were the owner of it. And then I started thinking about, you know, like, I start having emotional states within my dreams.
Right. And see, the thing, even when you're recalling the dreams, it's always, well, we were in the McDonald's and then you ordered the fries. I didn't want fries because I was like full from eating earlier in the day. I just wanted to get a Coke. It's, you really live a complete alternative, detailed life in your dreams. And I think I'm the one that is more fascinated or curious about their dreams than you.
Yeah, and you've taught me that over the years. And I don't even know if I fully buy into it, but you've taught me that that they're worth paying attention to. Like, I just think that they're fun, and it makes me think, like, oh, maybe I smoked too much ant spray on weed in the early 90s. Like, maybe something, like, kind of tripped a neural pathway somewhere that shouldn't have been connected. And that's why I have these weird experiences at night.
Right. Now, and see, I just started reading a book on lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
And I said, before you even brought up the details about this Portillo's thing, this wasn't, you know, a thing that you had brought up to me previously. And I thought, I want to really start reading into this and figuring out more about it. So this was something that you posted a couple weeks ago on the Jones and Mike Facebook page.
That's right.
Something, you posted one thing about a guy who is able to hack your dreams, which I watched, which was very interesting. I can get into that in a minute.
Yeah.
But then you also posted an article, and I think it was a book that was, God, I don't have the title right in front of me.
Oh,
but it
no.
was, that's what I was trying to look for when you started rolling everything. I was trying to get the title of that because I wanted to tell you about it. But it was in that Tim Ferriss article that you had posted.
Yes.
And it was about how to lucid dream. And I used to
You can choose to lucidly dream.
Well, that was what the book was about in the article that you posted on Facebook.
Right.
I bought the book. I'm now reading it.
But it was like buried within another article that's what I was posting about.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, it wasn't like the article was solely about the book, but within this article.
Make me think I'm dreaming while I'm awake. Like, I don't really remember what's going on.
I'm only referencing the article, the contents of the article that you posted.
And so you're reading this dude's book now?
I'm a quarter of a way through the book right now.
Awesome.
Because I used to lucid dream years ago all the time. I had these flying dreams. I could will myself into flying dreams. I could go to bed, have this flying dream, and then wake up and then be like, oh, wow, that was awesome. I was having a flying dream. I'm going to go back to bed. I'll start flying again. And I would go back, and it's described in this book, people who have the ability to lucid dream or the techniques that you use, that you're able to do that. You're able to fall back asleep, you recognize that you're dreaming, and like jump up in the air and just start flying. And I was able to do that.
That's crazy. Like, I have great dreams where, like, the dog wakes me up. Every night, in the middle of the night, I have to go let this stupid dog out. And so sometimes I'm having, like, an amazing, like, bonerific dream where I have a humongous boner. And I'm like, oh, my God, I want to get right back into that dream. And I can't do it. So saying that you can choose to do that?
I was able to do it independently on my own without really realizing it. Then I kind of lost the knack for that. And now I'm trying to get it back again because those are great times. Like, flying dreams are incredible. So now I'm trying to get back to that. And then part of the process, I've been logging my dreams.
You've been... Well, okay, wait a second now. Before we get too far, tell me about a flying dream. Like, are you like the greatest American hero? Like,
where
flying,
you just jump
like
up
Superman?
In the air and you fly like you're a bird.
Do you flap your arms?
No, you're just like... Just like organically powered.
Okay.
And you just soar through the air.
And your arms are in front of you or behind you?
They're like wings.
Oh, they're out to the side, like an airplane.
Yep. Yeah, just
kind of
steering you around.
I didn't even figure that there was a third option. Like, I think that if I were going to be flying, I would just lead Beezer first, face first.
Well, no, that's, yeah.
And my hands would be behind me, like, aerodynamically.
Oh, behind you. No,
yeah.
I'm like, it's like a plane. Like, my face is out front. My arms are to the side like a wing, like wings.
But you don't move them, and I do,
but like a plane, like a straight, like the straight wings of a plane, not a bird. And then I just kind of bank one way, bank the other.
Ah,
I can go up, down.
Nice.
Like,
really?
There were dreams where I would be coming down, like flying towards the ground, and I could get so close. I'd fly along the top, and I could feel the blades of grass run along my face, and then just instantly just fly right back up into the air.
Oh,
it was
my
amazing.
God.
Amazing.
And you were how old?
This was just a couple years ago.
Oh, my God. And you that ability? That's
it was
crazy.
After, what it was after my parents passed away. I think maybe there was just some level of relief there. You know, like that all the pressures of their illnesses were now, those stresses were gone. And I was free to think, for myself or what have you. I think that's what I would have to guess.
Oh, my God.
I was free just to get out there.
Crazy, man. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. All right. Well, all right. So I want to hear more about this and about your dream logging.
Oh, I've got them logged. I brought them with.
Is there a way that I cannot have a repeat of the Portillo's dream? Can I teach myself not to do that?
Well, yeah, you can train yourself. You can train yourself.
It was a
so
little bit much.
That's possible.
Yeah, having you own Portillo's. I mean, Portillo's just was owned by a dick.
Right. Wait till you just hear about the Jones Show.
Have you ever listened to a radio show and thought, I could do better than that? Who hasn't? But have you ever thought about actually doing your own show? Now that seems a little more daunting for most people. Hosting your own show helps spread the word about you and your expertise, your business, product or service, charity, or any organization at all. When you have your own show, people listen to you, get the credibility, authority, and visibility you deserve. Chicago Pod Show has the studios, equipment, people, and experience to help you launch your own show almost instantly. Host a show that's heard 24/7 on iTunes, YouTube, mobile apps, websites, or even on the radio. Chicago Pod Show does it all for you. All you have to do is be the star or the expert you already are. Find out how easy getting your own soapbox can be. Visit ChicagoPodShow.com or call 312-725-8017. ChicagoPodShow.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at JonesandMike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike. My mom used to like to tell me a story about a friend of hers whose father died and they couldn't find his will anywhere. And a couple of months after he died, she had a dream that she thought was real. You know, it was one of those real feeling dreams. And in the dream, he just was standing like at the foot of her bed, like in the suit that they buried him in. And he just kept reaching into the inside pocket of his suit over and over and over again. She was like, Dad, you know, and trying to talk to him.
Sure.
And he wouldn't respond. He just kept reaching into his suit jacket, you know, pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she, from that moment on, believed that that was him appearing to her in a dream, telling her that his will was in the suit that they buried him in.
You're kidding.
Which, and she was convinced that, like, no, that was him appearing from the other dimension,
well,
or
see,
from heaven. And it's like, oh my God, no, that was just her torturing herself forevermore, being like, oh my God,
well,
I'm so stupid. We should exhume his body.
Did they ever find the will?
I don't know the second half of that story.
Okay. Well,
like if I believed that my inheritance was 6 feet under, I'd be exhuming that body.
Yeah.
Like how much does that cost? It's gotta cost a couple of grand, I bet.
Yeah, but it might be worth the peace of mind. Now
it's not like it's Baroque Cemetery where you just go over and like blow the dirt off of the top, you know, the topsoil, and
right,
there's your relative.
And there's your uncle. Well, I had a dream after my mom died. I had a dream that I believed it felt like she came to me.
Yeah.
I was sleeping. I was laying in bed. I was on my side. And all of a sudden she appeared in the room and she floated, like her feet didn't move or anything. She just slid towards me. Like she was just on like a runner or something.
Yeah, like the Penguin and Blues Brothers.
Yes, exactly. No, that's exactly what it was like. And she came towards me and stopped. And it was so intense. I remember in this state, whether it was dreaming or sleep paralysis or whatever,
yeah,
I thought to myself, "This, be careful, this could be demonic."
Yeah, like a trap, man.
Yes, no, I
don't
did.
Don't go to your mom.
I did, because, well, it was a very intense moment.
Ooh, that's
moment.
Wicked, dude.
And she stopped in front of me, and we started talking, and she just let me know that she was fine.
Oh, my God.
And did not blame myself. Like, and here's the thing, when I was looking at her, she looked just like herself, but she was perfect, like without flaw. Like the skin was perfect. She didn't look sick anymore.
Like perfect as before she got cancer, or perfect like you'd never seen her like that?
She looked like the perfect version of herself.
Oh my God.
So like,
so that made you feel better.
It did. And so I was talking to her, and then I asked, there were things like when I would ask a question about like myself, like, she was saying, she was telling me that there were certain people that she knew in our life that were like in trouble, to watch out for them.
Yeah.
But then when I asked, she didn't bring you up.
Oh.
Now, when I asked about, I said, how am I? Am I okay? Am I doing okay? She just kind of smiled softly and just like shook her head like she couldn't speak. And like even in the dream, I understood, it wasn't that I wasn't doing well. I understood in the state that she was in, the dimension she was in, she's not allowed to give me a preview of, she's not allowed to feed me that information.
I don't think she didn't want to say it out loud.
No,
Brian,
I didn't.
All I know is you were going to work at the Portillo's.
No, there was nothing. No, I didn't take anything negative about that reaction, but I've had that same kind of dream as your mom.
Well, yeah, it was my mom's friend or whatever.
Okay, mom's friend.
Yeah, that's crazy, yes. Dude. I love how in your dream, dude, you thought this could be the devil.
Because it was so intense. So when I woke up from that sleep paralysis or dream or whatever it was, I was exactly in that same spot, laying in the bed, looking at the door. Like I was in that physical position.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. Now, and I did find, obviously we're talking about dreams, lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
I did find the book that I am now reading. You posted the article that you had posted. There was a book inside of it. You should read about lucid dreaming. That was the suggestion.
Like, that's how important our content is. Like, there is awesome content buried within the content that like, I don't even see. So,
yes.
Like, you should
and that, like,
read
we,
it and listen
I go
to
out
it.
And, like, read the books on it.
Yeah,
like, how
crazy.
Many shows do that? They'll post stuff. They'll have a producer post it. They don't even know.
That's
the
right.
The talent doesn't even know what was posted.
And you have no idea. These producers, like, dumber than dumb. So,
right.
Like, forget it.
Well, come on. Now.
They're dumb.
Let's be. That's not true. Some of them are very sharp.
Okay, fine.
So
spoken like a true former producer.
Well, yes, exactly.
I'm glad
so
I never
off.
Lowered myself to that.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're the Portillo's workers of the radio industry.
Oh,
let's
yeah,
be honest.
Right. I'm in the loop. I'm a cut above.
All right. So continue.
So the title of the book, if anyone's interested, is Exploring the World of Lucid Dreaming by Stephen LaBerge.
I love how you couldn't remember
and
that.
Howard Rheingold.
Yeah. Exploring the World of Lucid Dreaming.
Well, I wanted to get, I want to make sure I get the title exactly wrong. I didn't want to say something like, Traveling Down the Road of Lucid Dreams, and then people can't find the book.
That's right.
If you go on Amazon or just Google Exploring the World of Lucid Dreaming, you'll find the book.
By Peter DeBerge.
Stephen LaBerge.
LaBerge.
And Howard Rheingold.
All right. And so you're a quarter of the way in, and so give me the clip notes.
So the idea is you can train yourself to lucid dream. Now, people, we maybe even kind of should back up a bit and describe what a lucid dream is. A lucid dream is when you are in a dream state, REM sleep, rapid eye movement. That's like a deep part of your sleep where your dreams are the most intense. A lucid dream is when you realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm dreaming, and you're awake and active in your dream. So instead of when you have a dream typically and you think everything's being done to you, it's almost like you're an actor. You're an actor in a movie and the script's already been written. Mm. You're sitting there going, okay, I know exactly. Okay, I understand that I'm dreaming now. Mm-hmm. So when Michael Jordan passes you the ball,
yeah,
it's you can choose what you want to do with it. Or if you're driving a car, it's not like all of a sudden, I didn't know where I was going, but the car was steering itself. You can now control
the
car.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, so in the dream, do you know that you're in a dream? Like, do you realize, oh my God, I'm limitless right now?
You do have a sense of that. And that's
cool.
And I say that from my experience of the flying dreams. I was aware that it felt real. At the time, you half know that it's a dream and it half feels like real life. Hmm. But I know, in that state, I knew if I jump up in the air and put my arms out, I'll just take off. I can will myself into flying.
Hmm.
I was aware of that. I could wake up and be in the dimension that you and I are in right now and mm-hmm. go, I'm going to go back to bed now. I'm going to start flying again.
Yeah, like if what we're doing right now was a dream, I would never try to have this dream again. I would never be like, oh my God, I got to get right back into that.
Yeah, no, that was good. You should write that one, write that one down. That's funny stuff. So
let me ask you this. Are most of your dreams good and positive and like superhero-y, or are they harrowing and scary? My recurring dream is I'm punching someone and I'm having zero effect on him and he just keeps coming.
Right.
And I'm about to meet my doom.
I've had those dreams. Then strangely though, I've had dreams where I've finished people off.
Really?
Been pretty impressive.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like in Mortal Kombat where you behead them with a punch?
Yeah, not necessarily where I kill them, but I drop them.
And you win the fight.
Yes, and win it. Yeah.
Oh my God. So I have a dream where I'm
But I've had those too where you're punching someone and you should be having some effect, but it's like nothing. It's just like a baby slapping a blanket.
Yeah, totally. And just no matter what, the kitchen sink.
They say that is because psychologically you're in a period where you really feel powerless. I've also read people always get freaked out by their dreams, like if they're having sex in a dream. If they're waking up and they're going, oh my God, why was I having sex with that woman that I talk to at the deli every morning? I'm not attracted to her. That's weird. Or, you know, or the guy at the deli every morning. I'm not attracted to that person. That's really weird. And I've read that a lot of times when you have that situation where you're in a dream, you're having sex with someone that in your waking hours, you wouldn't even think of it. It's because you have a deep respect for that person.
Yeah, it's so weird, dude. Like, the concept of not wanting to have sex with someone blows my mind.
Well, I'm just saying.
seriously.
It's you and John Cena.
There are some people that really would be like, oh my God, this is horrible. I'm having sex with someone right now. I'm not attracted to them.
Well,
like
you
a
kind
dude
of
would
wonder,
say that?
Well, you kind of wonder where you...
Who is the species of man you're describing?
Well, I'll admit that I've had those dreams, and it's been with, I've had a dream where it was, with a significantly, older woman that I wouldn't be attracted to. And then I had read where it was like, that's because you really, you respect that person.
Like how old? Like 80s? 80s?
I don't know. Not 80s. I say I don't know, and I'm actually
60s.
Trying to think of it
60s.
Somewhere around there.
Like, I would still be like,
late
wow.
Late 50s, 60s.
I thought this would be pretty crappy, but this is actually pretty good.
Well, no, but you're still wondering.
I thought it'd be dry.
No, but it's not. We go through this every week so many times. It's not necessary.
But is this so weird, dude? You're describing, there are men who have dreams of having sex with women that they don't want to have sex with. Like, what?
Yeah, well,
come on.
Yeah, there are I'll put it this way, Mike. We're getting off topic here, but you are absolutely in the minority of men that would
have sex with anyone?
Sex with any woman.
Bull.
Yes.
No
yes.
way.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
No
every,
way.
Every guy out there that would be listening to this show, not every guy, I would say 97% of the guys out there could list two or three women they wouldn't have sex with.
Well, yeah, there are maybe some morbidly obese people.
Okay, but you're more open. Your list is more open.
A little
than
more liberal.
98% to 99%.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
To all of the population.
I mean, outside of family members, I can't think of anyone.
That's my point. You're making my point. It's you have no list of no's, and I know that men are supposed to be driven by sex species. However, most men have a fair list of no's.
Yeah,
you almost
really?
Have a no.
I think maybe the mom from Little People, Big World, I would have problems completing. That's
okay,
the thing. I could have sex with her, but I probably might not be able to complete.
We're getting off
okay,
topic,
fine.
But you are... You have some issues, is all I'm saying.
I don't have issues.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. And so about your lucid dreaming,
yes.
Have you noticed that you're able to employ any of the tactics and techniques prescribed by this book?
Okay, so now I'm reading the book. Now, okay, right. And so now I lost that ability to lucid dream. I'd like to get it back. Now I'm working my way through the tactics in the book trying to make it happen. Mm. Now, part of what you are supposed to do throughout the course of your day is there's a list of questions. Like, you're supposed to constantly be questioning if you are in a dream or not throughout the day, because it puts in your subconscious that this is a question that you're always working on. Because when you're in a dream, things that happen to you during your waking hours come up in your dream. So this helps you if your brain is like, okay, this person really values this question of this reality question of if they're dreaming or not. So even during the course of their dream, they start to ask the question, is this a dream or what? Then it gives you an opportunity, a cue to ask that question in the dream and go, I am in a dream. And then all of a sudden become lucid. So how you would do that throughout the course of the day. If I'm over at your house right now. If we go upstairs after we record the show and your son walks in and he's got a Darth Vader helmet on and he walks over and he goes, hey, Dad, can I go to Ben's house to ride bikes? That's a perfect opportunity for me to go, am I dreaming? Because my brain is processing an unusual, a mini Darth Vader walking into the kitchen going, hey, Dad, can I go ride bikes?
Interesting.
Now, if Dominic just walked in normal, just no helmet, no lightsaber, no nothing, and hey, Dad, can I go to Ben's house to ride bikes? That's not strange enough.
Okay.
So you have to watch. So you have
to. It's got to be a pattern interrupt from something that you would typically.
Yes,
contextually,
and it can still be, yeah, experience. And even within the context of what it is, it doesn't even have to be that strange, but you could be at an intersection and see one car hit the brakes and almost slide through a red light, and then look over and see a woman in a pink dress riding a bike and just go, am I dreaming? Because that's just strange. Dynamics are different enough that it causes your brain to legitimately ask that question. You're in the pattern of asking that question. So now you may begin to do that at night. It gives you an opportunity to do that.
Interesting.
Okay.
And so is the theory that you kind of vacillate or kind of go up, you approach the dream state while you're awake during daylight hours, normal.
That you approach the dream state during.
There feels like there are times that I kind of poke near that threshold during the day.
Okay, now that I don't know. All I'm getting from what I've researched is throughout the course of your day, what happens in your waking hours can very easily play into your dream state.
Oh, okay. Most people, I would imagine, believe that while you're dreaming, you're working through problems that were unresolved, you know, during your daylight hours, your waking hours.
Well, there can be. Like, people have described, that's why sometimes artists will describe, they're trying to write a song, they couldn't get it done, and then all of a sudden they went to bed, and because they were working so hard on that song, their brain continued to work on it and try to perfect it. And when they woke up, it was like the song just came out of me. I've had dreams where I'm playing hockey, but I'm playing it perfectly. But I'm not playing it like I'm Patrick Kane. I'm playing Brian Jones's version of ice hockey perfectly. And it's my brain is removing all of the imperfections, all of the mistakes. And I'm feeling with the same amount of strength that I have, the same amount of skill that I have, but I'm feeling like the strides are perfect. Like, I've experienced that. So that's another example of what happens in your waking hours. Your brain is continuing to work on that.
Interesting.
While you're sleeping.
All right. And you said you have a dream log.
I do have a dream log.
And this book recommends that you log your dreams.
Yes, exactly. I can explain that.
Yeah, I want to get into that. And I want to pick your brain a little bit more on this. And then I also have two words to share with you. Rebel Wilson.
Okay.
I would not even dream of having sex with Rebel Wilson.
Well, that's one on the list.
There's one. That's a start, right? It's Jones and Mike.
Another Pacific Rim Omega customer speaks.
My name is Tony G. I was very impressed by taking your product and the purity of the pharmaceutical grade of the omega-3 fish oil. I really felt very, very good, like, taking the product as far as my mood. I noticed the collagen in my face and some of the lines that have disappeared, my nails, my hair. I highly recommend this product, Pacific Rim. I really, really enjoy the product, and I look forward to purchasing more products in the future.
Find out what Tony and thousands of other people know. Pacific Rim Omegas are the best thing you can do for your health. And get 59% off your order right now when you take advantage of this special exclusive offer. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com right now and save 59% off your order of Pacific Rim Omegas, or call 877-324-4227. That's radio.mydailyomega.com. radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner is my second one.
Yeah, but Caitlyn Jenner has a penis. Like, that doesn't... That's a bold move. That's a woman.
Well, now I'm just... that's what I mean. I'm stretching.
I know, but...
Like,
okay.
I literally... Right. The list of women that I wouldn't have sex with or dream about having sex with was one. Rebel Wilson.
Okay, great. You will then admit...
And I'm already on to dudes.
Right, okay. So you will then admit that your list is enormous.
Yeah, it's pretty much everyone else.
It's not that your list is enormous. It excludes almost no one.
Yeah, really. It's really shocking. It's shockingly long. Well, that's the thing. Again, like, I wouldn't dream of them, but I wouldn't, like, as my wife would say, well, you wouldn't kick her out of bed.
Right, right. In your I wouldn't kick him out of bed list.
Yeah.
Is longer.
Somebody, yeah.
It's not even a matter of the length of it or how many people are on it. Yeah. It's almost that no one is not on it.
Yeah, that's it. That is it. That's it. And I gotta think that I'm not alone in that regard.
I think
almost everyone else would be like, "Oh my god, dude, I had this dream. I was having sex with, you know."
I think you're pretty alone in that regard.
I was having sex with Amy, the mom from Little People, Big World, and I was like, I was pretty cool with it. Actually, wasn't that bad.
Yeah, no,
it ended up not sucking.
Nope. I'm telling you, we're surrounded by men who could
who are discerning.
Yes.
All right. Now you're making me laugh, son. Now, what is a dream according to this book? Does it fall into that, you know, you're working through problems that you didn't get, you know, kind of finished up during the day or that are confounding
you?
No,
I mean, it's open to anything. I mean, it's beyond just simply to your day's work and you're trying to work through something. It can be something that you're processing for months or years or whatever.
But it definitely takes the point of view that dreams matter and they're important. And it's not like, you know, so now there are a lot of people in the scientific community that say you actually don't die and go to heaven. When you die, that light that you're going toward, that's just your brain's like kind of final throes of electrical, you know, pulse. And so people that come back from the quote unquote dead, they didn't really go to heaven. That was just their brain doing what a brain normally does when you're dying.
Okay.
In other words, like, they would probably take the perspective of like, no, your brain just fires off, the neurons are firing off, and the dreams really are just a cacophony of noise, but they really ultimately don't have some grand scheme, you know, message for you to take forth and learn from. You're not really learning or working through anything. It's just what your brain does.
Well, and some people can take that view, but there are other people who have claimed to have worked through things in a dream state, created works of art in a dream state, came up with an idea for businesses in a dream state, you know. So I mean, if people want to say you're just working through something random, and at times it may feel random.
Yeah.
But when you try to make sense of it all, I can't imagine that if your brain is able to operate, your brain essentially operates your body without you knowing it. So it's just going to sit there for 8 hours and do nothing.
It's
Bobby,
a significant.
That doesn't make any sense
either. That's right. It's like one third of your life is spent with your brain doing nothing.
Yeah, I don't
forget
buy
it.
That.
Right on. Ridiculous. All right. And so according to this book, you have started to, let me back up. You have started to take to heart some of the tenets of this book,
yes.
Which say that you should log your dreams for what purpose?
What you want to do is start logging your dreams because throughout your dreams, what they say in this, and again, the book is Exploring the World of Lucid Dreaming
by Stephen LaBerge.
Very good.
Thank you.
And Howard Rheingold. Don't sell Howard short. But what they say in this book is there are markers that can continually come up in your dreams. So if you're trying to lucid dream, there can be markers where all of a sudden it's almost like being inside the Matrix. When you see the same bird land on the same branch,
right?
There's a tremor in the force. There's something in the program that there's something. If you are able to start to pick up what are called dream markers, dream signs, dream markers, that you can go, oh, maybe I'm dreaming right now. And then you can catch yourself in the middle of a dream and become lucid because you're noticing the patterns of your dreams and noticing the markers within them. Plus, it's your brain. It's training your brain to put value on what it's doing when it's dreaming. Your brain is also now you're dreaming of something, and then when you wake up, your brain is now processing. Oh, this person's rolling over, and now they're writing down on a sheet of paper what they were just thinking about, what they were just working on or dreaming on.
Okay. And so
that's the idea. So now all of a sudden you're noticing your dream markers. You're subconsciously putting more value on your dreams. And that is supposed to be able to trigger you being able to place yourself in a lucid state. Because you have to place yourself in the lucid state. You have to become aware that you're dreaming so you can become active inside of
it. And it begins by during the day saying to yourself, training your brain, no, I'm not dreaming. This really just happened. And so you have to question oddities.
Yes. It's questioning oddities because it then legitimately forces your brain to go, okay, am I in reality? Am I not in reality? Once you start consistently asking that question,
mm-hmm.
then that starts to come up in your subconscious as well. And then it can come up in your dreaming. Then you can be lucid.
Okay. And so you have been kind enough to, and I can't believe you're doing this, but you've shared your dream log with me.
I have. I've now been keeping the dream log for 2 weeks. And now
Are you sure you want me to read this?
It's not really that bad. I didn't have anything that was like really that bizarre of a dream.
Would you have censored if there was like something in there like, you know, homoerotic or something? Would you have been like, I'm not sharing that dream with Noonan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie to you. But now I can honestly say, anyone who's listening to this show, this is my legitimate dream journal.
Okay.
I did not save anything. But yeah, I could tell if there was something weird.
Well, I'm looking.
Like totally, almost borderline incriminating weird. Yeah, I'm not going to broadcast that.
And then
that.
Me and Tom Arnold made
right,
out.
Right, yes, totally. I wouldn't put that down.
I'm scribbling that one out. I'll just say I didn't take a dream log that day.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so you started on 5/17/16, is that correct?
Yes, and now you have my dream log. I have
I'm
a copy of the
it.
Dream log so I can follow you.
Yes.
Because I'll have to follow you on this because it
once
gets
again,
a little skittish.
Once again, you are to dream, and then you're supposed to, when you just naturally wake up to take a leak or something.
Yes, you don't do it in the morning when you wake up the next day. Now, the dream that you're looking at on 5/17/16, I didn't realize that yet. I thought it was you sleep through the night and then you wake up. What you write down what you dreamt about the night
you
before.
You remember, right.
Which is funny because there's a note in this dream that kind of lends itself to that and kind of why you don't do it. You're supposed to keep the notebook beside you, roll over right when you dream, and then just roll right back to sleep.
That's right. And write it right on that hooker's back. And so on 5/17/16, your penmanship is incredible.
Well, that's because
one of your things, your penmanship is ridiculous.
It is. It's flawless. And I woke up this is when I woke up as I was eating my breakfast. When I was eating my breakfast, this is when I wrote it down.
Okay. And so you wrote, last night I dreamt that Mom wouldn't listen to me. Parentheses, very hazy recall, not super accurate. And I became irate.
Yes. So because I wrote the dream, this dream was very hazy to me because I'm now recalling it from maybe hours after it happened or 45 Terrible. Minutes after it happened because I didn't write it down right away. But I do remember the dream. My mom had like a book in her hand. She wouldn't listen to me. And I was so angry. Like I went up and I like slapped the book out of her hand.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Out of the penguin's hand. How dare you?
Yes.
And in real life, you guys never would have had a altercation like that.
No, it was super close. But in that dream state, and that's the thing. I don't know what the dream state was about. Very hazy recall.
Okay. But so on night two, apparently you got to page 28 of the book that said, hey, Dumbo, do not write your dreams yes. in the morning because your penmanship now is
it's
for
like
you.
I'm drunk.
It's horrible.
Oh, it's like I'm drunk.
Yeah. For you, it's almost illegible. For like me and for like a doctor, pretty awesome
right.
penmanship. So for you, it's Star Wars Party, Angaxera, Wary Streets, Wing Home, Took Dropped Off Weird.
All right, so this was a dream.
You don't take drugs, do you, son?
So this was a dream.
Were you having your junkie weekend when you wrote this?
No. All right. So this was a dream where I was at a party, mm-hmm. and then when I went to leave, I got in one of those Star Wars X-Wings fighters. And then I flew back, but then somehow got dropped off, even though I was flying. And I thought that that was weird, because I was like, wait a minute, I was flying that
Who's going to fly? Yeah, who's going to fly yes. the X-Wing without me?
Right, exactly.
So you were having a little fit of hubris in your dream. You're like, only I can fly the X-Wing.
Yes, I guess.
How can the X-Wing fly without me?
Yes.
Awesome. So, and did you have your little pocket breathalyzer that you carry everywhere that you got from like Sky Mall or something for $250?
No.
Okay. Interesting.
No.
You just jump in the X-Wing after a party and take off. Everyone, you Dumbo's getting the Uber.
Right.
I'm getting in the X-Wing.
Right.
You think you're something in your dreams, man. I got to tell you.
Now, okay.
On the 19th. So
this
wait
is
a second.
Problem.
Did you skip the 18th? What happened?
No that
dreams?
Was the 18th. The X-Wing
oh,
was the
17, 18. All right. 19th. 19th. Oh, my. Redline batteries.
I know.
Backyard people want... middle perspective workhouse stand dream done wait businessman at office for work in middle of Lions Park there is a festival.
Okay, now here's the problem.
Okay,
I
yeah there is a problem definitely.
Okay. Now there are three dreams in there, but I didn't realize because I was half asleep. I wrote down my first dream, and it's something about. I think it's something about taking the Red Line, which is the Red Line train in Chicago.
Oh, my God.
But unfortunately, as I wrote the dream down, well, I wrote that dream down completely. But then when I woke up with my second lucid dream, but I was still like half asleep,
yeah.
I started writing over the other dream.
Oh,
so I have
classic
two dreams
mistake.
That are written over the top of one another. Now, the third dream...
God.
The third dream where it was the businessman at the office for work in the middle of Lions Park, I was there was a businessman that came to see me at my office, but I was in the middle of Lions Park, which is in Willow Springs, but that was my office, but there was a festival going on around us. But a businessman came to visit me at my office.
Drinking your wine and digging your herb. Now, so you're dreaming about your hometown.
Yes.
You've already dreamed about your mom. On the 20th.
Yes.
You dream about your sister.
Yes, aside, I do. Yes, I do.
Joke about almonds with Eileen in London. Almond picking in parentheses. Van to alarm. Clock check nor when picture under circumstances. Totally just conjecturing there. No idea what you scribble. Do you write with your hands or your feet?
Right. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So, okay. I remember I was in London with Eileen, and we were laughing at some joke that we had about almonds while we were, like, almond picking. Like, when people go, like, pick apples, we were, like, picking almonds.
Do people go almond picking?
I don't think so.
That sounds awesome, dude.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a thing.
Can you really, like, do they come in hard shells like walnuts?
No, I don't know.
Can you eat
them
right off the tree? I would love to go almond picking.
I don't know, but that's what... So I was doing that in the dream. And then this one Van to alone clock. Check. Oh, boy. I don't even know. I don't know. Picture. I think it says picture naked customers.
Oh, wow. You're having like a confidence attack.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they say when you're on stage? You're supposed to imagine everyone has is in their underwear. So you won't be nervous about and self-conscious?
Right, right. So I'm not really clear what that one is.
But the people were naked, not your sister. That was not the same
totally
part of the dream.
Totally separate. No, totally cool. Other dream. Good. Totally different dream.
All right.
Yes.
All right. We've dreamed about mom. We've dreamed about your hometown. And now we've dreamed about your sister.
Yes. There's a pattern.
Do you, and no part of you is like, no, I think this is a good exercise. I'm going to continue to do this. You're feeling good about this.
I don't feel good or bad about it. It is annoying having to write something down in the middle of the night. I feel like it is actually starting to disturb my sleep.
And if you woke up and you were like, must kill my boss today, would anything you write down change the way you would live that day?
It depends. Like I've had, I remember having a dream once where you were driving across train tracks and got killed. Do you remember this? I called you and said, Mike, I know this sounds totally bizarre, but I had this really vivid dream where you died going over train tracks. So just today, I know this is really weird, but just be either don't do that or be very careful when you're going over train tracks.
I don't remember.
And you were actually cool about it, like you were weirded out by it, but you understood, like, okay, there's something going on, I'm just gonna roll with it. You're like, oh okay, yeah, I will I'll do that.
Yeah, well, I had my grandma used to have like visions and dreams, and like her mom before her, like she read like cards for people, like for money, like that was like her job. It was like she in her apartment in the city or something. It was, you know, and I'm, you know, piecing it together is probably not even accurate, but for the most part, as the story goes, our family believed that her mother had like a second sight type of a thing, and that our grandma had the ability to like kind of see things that ended up happening in her dreams. So, like, right. She saw, like, something happening to a family member once. And,
really?
Like, she woke up and, like, you know, called a family member. And, like, sure enough, that family member was having an issue. So, like, everyone was like, whoa, really? That's weird. And, like, one time she called, like, my house when I was a little kid. Like, my brother and sister were watching me. My parents were on a vacation in Arizona. And she called up freaking out, at some point in the night, saying, hey, I had a dream that your parents died in a helicopter crash. Do me a favor, just check in with them. And so my brother and sister, they were like teenagers. They called down to Arizona, and my mom was like, well, we're taking a helicopter trip in the morning. They canceled the sightseeing trip. And I remember a couple of months later, one of those sightseeing helicopters went down, and my mom was like, see? And I'm like, well, I don't know about see, but, you know, yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
When you called up about that dream thing, I was like, all right, I won't go over any train tracks today. Cool, bro.
Yeah.
Thanks for dreaming or thinking of me.
Yeah. No, my pleasure.
Yeah. So I kind of buy into what you're saying here. Now, on the 21st of May, I have to ask you, it says here, game show win a car accident, grocery shop survivalist, money out of ATM marathon, driving away from marathon, instructions, paperwork coming into office, help new girl, George best in room, naked woman talking, she's comfortable, 2500 tequila Billy, Eileen getting a dog.
What?
What is going on?
Okay, so this is what, let me tell you. So the first dream I had, I was in a game show and I won a car. That's okay. I went on a game show, won a car, period. Then I had an accident and found myself in a grocery store, maybe shopping. I was shopping for like survivalist stuff. Like I needed to get stuff. So maybe I was.
You, of all people.
But so I'm thinking this, the game show, I won a car, I get into an accident. Then I have to like, I don't know, get something to save myself.
Hmm.
So I go shopping like a survivalist in a grocery store. Now, the next dream after that was a separate dream where I was getting money out of an ATM, like maybe a marathon station, because then it's driving away from the marathon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't remember what I meant by instructions, but then I remember I was at my work and I got a ton of paperwork that came in to the office, like a crazy amount. And it was all for this new girl that started, and I had to help her.
So now, as you're describing this, these scribbles, it almost feels, it would feel better if you would take the scribbles and then make them into what really transpired in your dreams. Because, like, what is this log going to do? In 6 months, you're not going to be able to... Or are you, by virtue of you writing it down, are you kind of reprogramming your mind to tap into that part of your,
yes,
your psyche?
Where you're
so
only
it really doesn't
trying,
matter to revisit this stuff later.
Yeah, yes and no. You're doing the exercise of this is you're putting a value on the dreams that you're having, and then you're also looking for dream markers. So if I now see a family member, like all of a sudden if I find myself, you know, hanging out with my mom or dad at a park in my old hometown of Willow Springs, that should be, if I'm trying to develop lucid dream ability, that should be a clear dream marker for me.
And you dream REM dreams like 2 or 3 times a night, is that correct? Does it say that in the book?
Yes, yeah, yeah, roughly.
Like, it takes you, like, 90 minutes after you fall asleep to get into that deep zone, that REM sleep.
And they say that pretty much when you're trying to become lucid, it's really those final hours of sleep. In fact, what they'd say is some people who are really into creating lucid dreams for themselves, they set up an alarm clock to go off 2 hours earlier than they should normally get up, and then they're active for an hour or so. And then they go back to bed so they can sleep, so that they can be more fatigued and sleep deeper into those more prime REM hours.
What is wrong with those people?
Yes.
Like, that's really, really weird.
Yes.
So have you ever heard the term bizarre extravaganza?
No.
And maybe that's like a colloquialism, but I remember like a really smart dude that I knew years ago telling me, like, oh, that last dream that you have of the night is called the bizarre extravaganza, and that's why it's so disjointed and people are coming in and out, there's not really a storyline so much, it's like almost an amalgamation of the other two dreams of the night all mashed into one.
Right, yes, you have told me this.
And I don't know, maybe I'm just misremembering, you know, there's a Bushism for you, a misremembering. Right. You're doing a great job, Brownie.
Yes.
So I want to skip to this last one because on the 22nd, it was really good penmanship. And to me, that's a tell. To me, that shows that you were either super awake when you wrote it or the next morning or something.
Well, it's not super good.
Yeah, and
it's not terrible.
Yeah, and to me.
On what day?
On the 22nd, you wrote, and it's perfect writing. It's almost as if someone else wrote it. My cousin burst into my apartment with his wife, and I was telling him, hold on.
Yes, yes.
And then I banged her.
No, no. Now, come on. Be fair if we're going to do this. I did not write that.
Oh, that was in small print. And so, yeah, this is so, it's almost like someone else wrote this.
No, no, I wrote that. Okay. That may have been one of the final dreams where, like, I kind of woke up for the day. And I was getting, like, I was in my underwear, I want to say.
Oh.
And I was in the couch. And then my cousin, who lives across the courtyard with his wife, wanted to come over and visit. And I was like, hold on, hold on. You know, but then they came right through the door.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Yes.
All right. So on the 23rd. This is the last dream that you have here in the log. Is that correct? No, no, no.
You have the 24th.
All right, well, pick one. The 23rd or 24th. Which one? I'm going to go with the 23rd.
Yeah, you pick it.
Only because it starts off with peeling garlic.
Okay.
I do like me some oven-baked garlic.
Right, yes.
Peeling garlic, special needs, in bad neighborhood, walking past, it looks like something like that, McDonald's, I don't know, scared car for... Midge, everything vegan, napkins, black, white, mom, dad, had 516 window by a mile.
Okay.
Didn't you live on 516 Nolan?
Yes, yeah,
in Willow
this is
Springs?
Another home dream.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, dude. I honestly, I think you should see a psychologist.
Well, I don't know that. Here's the thing.
Does everybody dream about their childhood home all the time?
But that's the thing. I don't know that this is unusual without other people doing it. And then they see, oh my God, there's this complete wealth and variety of dreams that other people will have to do it along with me to really draw out a hardcore conclusion about myself. If you started to do it, you may find out like, oh my God, I dream about capacity zero.
Jeez.
4 times a week.
Well, who doesn't? Anyone who saw Capacity Zero, my high school band in the 90s, they dream about them to this day, too.
I would say as an outside observer, you are constantly dreaming and thinking about how people are always out to get you. So I bet
I'm punching you and nothing's happening.
Yes, that's probably your dream. It would be
out to
just
get
as
me.
Weird.
You sense a paranoia streak in me.
So I absolutely.
Oh,
now,
for God's
sake.
As
I'm going through these notes, the thing that stands out to me is the special needs MMA. There was a special needs child.
And that's BS. Hold on 1 second.
What?
I don't have dreams about that. All I say is every now and then for fun, I'll say to you like, oh, yeah, you were 5 minutes late to that meeting.
No.
I thought it'd be pretty funny if I walked in and like you were already sealing the deal with that guy.
No.
And then I was out in the cold.
I'm not.
So that's what you're referring to.
Nope.
I don't literally have dreams about me being paranoid.
No, you have dreams. And I'm not going to say the people's names, but you have dreams about people that even would be from high school. And you were fighting them and you were punching
what?
Them. Yes.
Well, exactly. I just said I already copped to that. I already copped to the
I'm
dream
just
that
saying
you're punching
you've had
someone.
Those other dreams that were specifically about people from your past
no,
in high school.
No,
yes.
No, you're the crazy one.
No,
I'm not the crazy
please.
One. I will. I'll write this stuff down and say I'm up every night.
Okay.
So I will write it down. And if there's a preponderance of 7806 Wheeler Drive, Orland Park, my home, you know.
It's not just about the hometown. It could be anything.
And my mom
it could be
and
your,
all this stuff.
It could be your, in this inferiority complex that you have that everybody is going to destroy you.
Okay. Everyone owns a Portillo's.
Everyone's out to get me.
All right. So what was this peeling garlic, special needs?
Okay.
What
so
is
there's
that?
This. I was, the peeling garlic was just. I want to say I was just peeling garlic, which is I use garlic all the time when I'm cooking and I'm always peeling the cloves. So I don't whatever. That's kind of weird. I would dream about that or not kind of not important. I was watching a mixed martial arts fight and there was a special needs child in there.
In the fight?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And I wanted to I had this feeling of stopping it. So I'm wondering if that melds into the in a bad neighborhood.
It depends on the special need, honestly.
And I was walking past, scared. So maybe I was in this bad neighborhood dreaming about this in a dream in this bad neighborhood where this special needs child was in the middle of a mixed martial arts fight. And then I remember there was a thing with a car. Now, I was getting everything. It's something about the everything in napkins for
yeah.
a vegan.
Everything vegan napkins, yeah.
I was getting... Or no. Someone was getting me all of these napkins, and they were supposed to be vegan napkins. I don't know why they were vegan napkins, but someone was giving me all of these napkins,
yeah.
And they were vegan napkins.
And you were like, oh, I'll actually use these for
yes.
once.
And then I had a dream, and it was, I want to say that it was in like a black and white. Mom and Dad
were... Yeah, they were like Bogey and Bacall.
Yes, and... Mom and Dad were going towards the house. I was in my car because I have Saab, and I beat them there. But and my dad said to me, "Oh no! That's what was weird about it." I turned to them and I was all playful, but I was like, "I beat you by a mile," and that stood out by me because I never say that term. I never say that
by
like,
a mile.
I beat him by a mile, man. The Cubs beat the Cardinals by a mile. I never say that.
Yeah,
but
you
in
don't...
this dream, I turned to my parents and I was like, "I beat you by a mile."
Meh.
Listen, see?
Yeah, really, man. Oh, very revealing.
Yes.
Too revealing, actually. Like
there is one here, too, yeah. From May 24th, where Mike Radio Basement.
Oh, boy.
I was on with a mancation with Andy and then got bad news.
A mancation?
Yes.
What in the what?
Yeah.
Have you ever used the term mancation?
I have, but it's not like regular part of my...
Oh, that's disturbing.
Yes.
And do you think that if people would enjoy knowing that they're in your dreams? Like, would your sister be like, oh, that's weird?
I mean, I'm
sure
they would.
Do you guys talk about this
like
stuff?
I dreamed one of them is, it's the, there, do you see that one dream note where it was naked woman talking? She's very comfortable. It was one of my sister's friends. I walked into a room and I was talking to her and she was completely naked.
Awesome.
Like, there wasn't really anything sexual about it. We were just having a conversation.
See?
And
here
I noticed, I noticed inside the dream, I was like, she's just really relaxed and she has no clothes on.
Man, oh man. Hey, was she, what was doing down there? Was she shaved in your dream?
She was.
Do you wake up with like massive boners after you have dreams like that?
No, because I'm writing.
You're writing.
I go right to writing. I'm working.
Unbelievable.
I'm working.
You're bizarre. I want to know more about this as time goes on. If you notice patterns.
Okay.
With your boners, I want you to.
And that's weird. That's the pattern you'd want to know about.
I'm noticing my boners are a little softer than normal after I dream journal.
There's something
when
in
it comes
dreams.
To finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease. Who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones, I saw a meme this week on Facebook. It was like a weatherman, and the letters above his head said, good news, it's going to be 80 degrees in Chicago this weekend. And then underneath him it said, with a 90% chance of getting shot. And I like that, actually. It's like bringing a little levity to the violence that is the Chicago nightlife and day life, actually.
Well, and it's pretty accurate. Like, at living down there in the area that I've lived in for 4 years now, I'm very aware. As soon as I think about it constantly. When I look outside, I see that it's sunny. I see it's going to be an 80-plus degree day. And I see it's going to be that way throughout the night where it's even warm come nighttime.
Yeah, yeah. Starting to sleep with your balls out and the windows open. It's got to be nice down there. And you can hear all the sirens
again
in the Gold Coast.
Just a little too much there.
You'd hear the crazies at the YMCA next door shouting out into the night, baying like so many wolves.
Well, but I do. I think to myself, oh, here we go again. This is going to be a problem. Because now all of a sudden you get everyone who's... Now everyone's out and hanging around.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
not a good scenario.
No, this time of year in the ghetto, dude, like kids are swinging on swings at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, but I'm in the Gold Coast and I'm looking out the door thinking to myself, oh, it's going to be a warm night tonight. Anything can happen.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, the crud. There's a sizzle in the air. And that's the scary part, is that you're in a nice area. And it's, you know, it used to be, in the good old days, it used to be if you just avoided like... You know, Austin, Gresham, and Englewood, and you know, you knew the neighborhoods in the south and west sides to avoid. But now the violence can just find you.
It's everywhere now.
It's like a tornado. It comes to you.
It's everywhere now. Now, I typically, other than when I think, oh, it's going to be a warm night tonight, I hope it's not too crazy outside my window. Because I live by a little nook where people come down there and smoke a few joints and hang out.
Yeah, and give blumpies.
That's
the,
a whole
the
other
alley.
Episode.
That's right.
Go through your Jones and Mike archive.
It's like probably episode 40.
Somewhere around there. But I deal with that all the time. Now, when I'm walking around in
and
the city.
And you're like, I just want a dream journal tonight. Can you guys just cut it out with the blumpy giving?
I know. It's disturbing. But when I am going through the course of my day, I never really think about it, except when I come home from jiu-jitsu. There's a path that I take that I'm always thinking.
And where is that place?
So it's on 174 North Michigan. So just south of Lake and Michigan Avenue.
All right.
And
then the river in Michigan.
South of there. But then I cross over one of the bridges typically to get back, unless I walk all the way up Michigan and cross over. Mm-hmm. But that's the one time of day where there's an instinct that I've always felt like I've got this bag on me, this big backpack. So there are things for people to grab and drag me down to the ground with. There's a reason to see what's inside the bag. My antenna really goes up when I'm walking home from class and I have the backpack on. And I've noticed now, as the weather has gotten warmer, we have now seen all of these attacks in the city where they've been stabbings, people being beaten with baseball bats. They're either right along that path or just not too far off of it. So it's really gotten on my mind.
I mean, I have a suggestion. All you have to do is wear your jiu-jitsu gi home from class, and I bet people would avoid you.
That's an idea.
You have one of those white suits, right?
I do.
Wear that home. How badass would that be?
I don't know.
Walking down Michigan, and think that would invite someone? Who's this guy?
Would, because I have the only belt I have to go with it is a white belt. So
I'll give you a blue belt before you leave tonight.
That'd be great.
And before you leave class, you could change into your blue belt. I'm not trying to upstage you guys or fake it. I'm just trying to get home
that
in one piece.
That would cause a whole other set of problems.
And so this week, I read that the walking man got mugged.
I read that. Now, I'll admit right off the bat, everyone on Facebook was blowing up about that. I have never seen, and I'm a pretty Chicagoan. I didn't know anything about the walking man.
Yeah, he looks like a symphony conductor, and he is seen walking with purpose. He's not shuffling along. Sometimes he has his hands in his pocket, but he's long and lean and not too far between. Black shock of hair, mustache, black mustache.
He looks like an older version of Yanni.
He does look like a Yanni. He's got kind of like a sport jacket, would you say, with the arms kind of rolled up, and then like a white undershirt underneath with like black chest hair billowing out. Like he looks,
like I said, an older Yanni. He actually looks like a disheveled Yanni.
He does. He looks like Yanni after a bender, but he is walking. He's looking in windows.
He looks like Yanni walking home from Lollapalooza.
Yeah, he absolutely does, and he looks like he's got a place to be and to go. And sometimes he's really walking with a gait. You can't even keep up with him. And they've done documentaries about this dude walking. Sometimes you see him over on the west side. Sometimes he's over by you. Sometimes he's, at 800 South Michigan. Like, he's all over the loop, all over the place. Everyone knows him. This week, they found, a cop was called or flagged down by a passerby because he was getting, beaten to death by some crazy on, Lower Wacker.
At 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah, broad daylight. Now, granted, it's Lower Wacker, so it's kind of always night down there. But, somebody was, trying to kill him. And allegedly, according to the report that I read, the walking man said hello to him. And I don't even know the walking man to ever speak. But he apparently said hello to this guy, and this guy flipped out and, was beating him with a baseball bat and tried to throw him over a railing. And, Walking Man's in the Northwestern right now, recuperating.
That's crazy.
It's got to be driving him nuts to be laying prone for so long.
Yeah. I'm telling you, though, I've really noticed an uptick in this. As you said, the violence now coming to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who the F messes with the walking man?
You almost lost it right there. You got
pretty... I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Who messes with the walking man? I got to be honest. I know, obviously, another crazy person. But it's like, dude, he's beloved, man. All he does is window shop.
Yeah.
For 15 hours a day, leave him alone. So when the walking man gets harassed, I think any of us are at any moment perilously close to being harassed to death.
And I one time I did have a guy try to harass me and attack me. He was he was in a wheelchair going down State Street. And then it was the same kind of almost walking man scenario. He looked at me, I looked at him, and I kind of nodded, how you doing? and he was wheeling, and then all of a sudden he wheeled towards me and cut me off and put the wheels like put the wheels in front of me to like trap me. And he's like, "Do we got a problem?"
Oh my God.
But the best part was
he was waiting for that all day.
Yes, he was. But here's where he made a mistake.
Yeah.
He had no legs. So it was open in between the two wheels. And I said, "Nope, I'm fine." And I stepped right through the gap in the wheels and just walked off. So it was like I didn't even break stride.
Oh, that's great.
So you know he had to be like, "Oh!"
And you were like,
"There's a wrinkle in my I didn't see that coming."
You were like, "Later, Lieutenant Dan."
Yes.
"I'm out of here."
Yes, yes.
Oh my God, that's great, dude. You once again, the man with legs wins. You got that, Oscar Pistorius? We always win.
Right, right. It is.
We will always take you down. Take you down to Chinatown.
It is an advantage. There is no question.
So I park at Halsted and Fulton Market, and then I walk past all the fishmongers and all the dudes, you know, with their hand carts and stuff. And on the way home, back to the lot at, you know, 5-ish or whatever, like, none of those dudes are there. And so it's kind of a weird street where there's, like, some upscale restaurants and stuff, but there are long stretches where, like, those kind of warehouses are kind of closed down in the afternoon. And then there's, like, shards of, like, wood everywhere and stuff. And there are dudes out there, like, with shopping carts collecting pallets. I don't know if there must be good money in that business. Maybe I ought to think about collecting a few pallets on my way back to my car.
Yeah, I see those guys all the time. And they have a huge stack, like, on a cart. I've seen them going through the loop. And they'll, like, walk those carts through cars. Like, around them.
Yeah, yeah. There must be, those things must be like a buck each or something to those dudes. Because they stack them up high on their shopping carts. I've been shocked that I've never, ever been asked for dough or harangued. I've never had anyone shouting out like a crazy person into the hinterlands. Like, nothing. No problems at all. But I'm still, as I'm reading about, like, expressway shootings, as I drive from 21st and Pulaski down to 5th and Pulaski to do a little shortcut every day, thanks Waze app for leading me through that neighborhood, as I go through these neighborhoods, I'm like, man, when is the violence just going to happen upon me when I least expect it? And it makes me go, why? They now allow me to carry a gun. I have a FOID card. I have guns. But I am still not carrying a gun. What is wrong with me? Why would I not do that?
See here,
and the reason is because it's hundreds and hundreds of dollars. But I'm kicking myself that every day I'm going out on a veritable ledge, from my perspective, because it's so stupid. It's like, why do I not have a peacemaker, Jones?
I have two words for you: dream journal. I would love to see you now start keeping a dream journal.
So I could work through this latent aggression?
It's not a latent aggression, but I think that is your pattern. People out to get you, attacking you. You need to have a gun with you.
No. The walking dude is laying. He's not walking right now in Northwestern Hospital.
I'm just saying, you think
about it
a lot.
And he's a guy who's on the move. And he knows the city. And the violence just came to him. People, there was a woman this week who, she was in the news because she was saved by, you know, somebody started shooting her when she was just parked on the side of the road in some crappy neighborhood, but mistaken identity, and the bullet lodged in her cell phone that was lodged up against her ear. Like, she'd be dead right now if she wasn't talking, if she wasn't breaking the law and talking on her cell phone. So, like, the violence is just, it's out of hand, dude.
Oh, no,
there have been 20 expressway shootings so far. By the way, none of the culprits have been apprehended.
It's real.
So there's a rash of people just shooting people on the expressways.
It's real. And yes,
and those are in
it's
broad
coming
daylight.
Out of those neighborhoods. I understand all of that. I'm just saying,
in a
this
city
is something
of 8
that
million
is very
people,
in your,
why would it be
it's
you?
Very on your mind. I'm just saying.
Well, no. It's not on my mind.
Your dream journal.
Here's what it is. It's if the violence ever, I even acknowledge that it's a long shot, a very long shot. But if the day came that the violence came to me, and I was getting beaten up by some crazy with a baseball bat on Fulton Market for just no effing reason at all, as I'm bleeding out and I'm starting to lose consciousness, I guarantee I would be thinking, they even just gave me the ability to have a concealed weapon right now. And I've taken classes, I know how to shoot a gun, all that stuff. And I still did not prepare myself. And here I am, lying in my own pool of blood, dying.
Maybe you just like to talk a good game, then.
So that's it. That's exactly all that it is. I believe that it is a one in a million shot. However, why, if they're giving you the ability, why not?
I can't. You can only answer that for yourself.
Well, right, but you're even laying the groundwork that if I do it, it is me giving in to these weird
visions that I have.
Where the world's out to get me.
No, I'm just hearkening back to when we were talking about patterns, and oh boy, you got a weird pattern there. You need to see a psychologist,
yeah,
because you keep dreaming about your mom, dad, sister, home, house, or whatever. I'm just saying, I bet if you kept a dream, that's all I'm saying. This is all I'm saying. If you kept a dream journal, I think you would find out that you're a frightened person.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Today I read an article that said that, and it was in the Washington Post, right? Or actually it was in the New York Times, but obviously New York Times, Washington Post, they're very ideologically opposed to Trump, and that's fine if that's your deal. But every day, it's a new reason why you're mentally ill if you support Trump. And today's article was that apparently some psychologists have determined that a great percentage of people that also that support Trump also have they're thinking a lot about death. So, according to their findings, if you think about illegal immigration, you also are the same type of person who sits around pondering death and fearing death. And so, i.e., ergo, et al., whatever, if you support Trump, your mental illness is that you're preoccupied with death. And that he even is subconsciously playing into that with the themes that he brings up on the stump.
I don't buy that.
So, but you're kind of giving me one of those raps right now. Like, you are always thinking about death. And it's like, well, yeah, I guess I wake up, I watch the news. It's death, 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 death overnight. Death, 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 death. And they're mentioning neighborhoods and places that I drive through and I go to. And I, you know, I live out here in my little ivory tower for a reason. I don't want anything to do with that nonsense. I don't want people from the YMCA in my backyard screaming, all drugged up and stuff. Like, that's your bailiwick, man.
I know, but
that's what you've chosen to do.
Yes. So
I live out here,
it.
So I don't have to deal with that stuff. But the deal is, I have to drive through it. And so as I'm driving through it, and there are people just getting shot willy-nilly, and the weather's only heating up, and things are only getting weirder out there.
You have always thought of it before, because it's not like you got the job in the city and then became a gun owner. You became a gun owner when you were a hardcore suburbanite dude.
Well, right, exactly. Like, if the law allows you to protect yourself, why would you not take that step to protect yourself? That's all I'm saying. And as I am sitting here unarmed, like right now, I have no ability to kill you right now. Outside of with my own bare hands.
Yeah,
and as you know, these baby hands probably aren't going to do the job.
No, I'm the trained one now.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I got another stripe on my belt this week.
Oh, Jesus.
Halfway to the blue belt.
Halfway to blue belt.
Yeah.
To go with your blue balls. So I've been... The gun that I'm going to buy is going to be it's lightweight, it's little, it's actually kind of cute. And it doesn't have a hammer on it, so it's perfect to slide into like a little holster that'll go right under your shirt. They're going to love that in my office.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the next step. You getting the gun and seeing where you're able to go with it. That...
And then you're predicting that I'll get arrested because I'll bring it into the wrong place.
That is going to be... Such a sight to behold when you get taken down.
When I get taken down because I didn't notice the little, like, there's little stickers on the doors with a gun with a line through it. And it's supposedly you're supposed to, like, pay attention to that. And if you go in there with your gun, you're in trouble. So stupid. Either it's legal or it isn't.
I love this. You're going to become an angry, gun-toting...
Yeah, that's right.
Gun-carrying gun owner.
Just call me Bernie Getz.
Oh, I can't
Call me Bernie Getz. I'm going to be just itching. Just speak to me the wrong way on the expressway.
I just only hope I run into you when I'm lucid and just fly away.
I can't wait to brandish my hammerless gun at you, Jones.
Oh, God.
You're going to deserve it.
I'm a blue belt. You need help.